Hello guys, welcome back to the Shinto Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we're going to talk about situational training.
Yeah, and before we jump in, we have to say thank you again to all of our supporters, especially Levon, one of our biggest supporters.
Yep, thank you, Levon.
Yeah, thank you, Levon. Yep. And situational training, this is a follow-up from our previous episode, Finishing Throws.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's more about how to train for these situations where you have to try to finish the throws.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do we go about doing that? Like you kind of gave us a teaser. You basically put yourself into that situation more.
Yeah. And I don't want to repeat myself with the Ochi Uchimata position. So I'm going to go completely different. Ready?
Okay. All right.
Situational training. Start in losing Juji position. Right? Start in
Mamba
position. Right?
Okay.
But you know, this is not even specific to, there's many ways to go about this, right?
Right.
All right, guys, we're going to start in armbar position. Person A is going to try to finish the armbar. Person B is going to try to not let the person finish. Ready, set, go, right? But this is the caveat here.
Yeah.
You could just make it to finish the person, reset, finish the person.
Right.
Or you could get finished and then intensity immediately gets reduced, right? And then you have to fight out of it after you get submitted. And then the round continues as if you escaped. So you're working specifically on when the submission fails.
I see. Like you somehow got out of it.
Yeah, the guy got out. So now you have to scramble into new positions, scramble into other submissions, right? And usually because people finish it, they're like, oh, I finished. I'm done, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like that, you know?
You know, that's I think I noticed the BJJ people are a lot better at that. Because I tend to stop right away, like when the finish the on the ground when I make the guy tap, I was like, okay, this is good enough. But then I realized that when I went to BJJ schools, people would they're pretty much taught to continue through it, like try to get out of it even.
I mean, it depends on how much you trust the partner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
There's guys I'll never give my full arm to because I feel like they're going to just get so excited, they're going to try to break it.
Yeah.
They're just too excited. You know, they just don't know any better. You know what I mean? But there are people that I will train that way. You know what I mean? And you know,
it's almost like flow rolling, almost, yeah?
Kind of.
No, yeah.
I don't like that term, the F word.
So you don't like the flow?
Yeah. But you know, you can also do a rule in the gym. It's a catch and release kind of a thing, right? When you get the submission, whether it's like, all right, I don't know, take down whatever, take the back, and you finish the choke, rear naked bang, you just loosen it and let the person fight out of it as if they escaped. So it never really starts. You don't have to like get up, tie a bell, reset, grip fight, one person pulls guard. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. You know what I mean? There's continuity always. And I really like that. You see what I mean?
So I think that can be applied to ground techniques more because it can kind of continue through it. But when you're standing, how would that work?
So if you're finishing Ochi and you run out of bounds and the person hits the wall, right? Because especially we're in New York City, right? So it's like space is very limited always. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's these like mega dojos with like 3,000 square footage of just mat space in like these middle nowhere places. I've seen dojos like this. In New York City, that'll be 30 grand a month. So it's not feasible to have that. So when you're doing Ochi or whatever, you run in and bang, hit the wall, you just walk back to the middle and reset there.
Oh, I
see. So now it continues. Because the issue is, every time you run out of bounds, time stops, you walk back to the middle, you like meander a little bit, walk around, face each other, grip fight a little bit. You're only really being exposed to that initial grip fighting thing. Right? Most of the match.
Right.
You know,
that's when I take my breaks, though.
That's when you take the breaks, and that's when the people pound their chest, roll their sleeves, wipe the sweat off their forehead, and then they're like circling around, kind of engaging, pulling back, engaging, pulling back. You know, like it's a huge waste of time.
I see.
It's a huge waste of time. So like having that kind of a thing, you run a technique out of bounds, you walk back to the middle and you start there. That's always a good thing that I haven't really done that yet at the dojo, you know? But we do a lot of situational training now with like, all right, we're going to start, one person starts Ochi. You know, dedicated, not just full-blown Randori, but like, all right, one person starts Ochi position. If the person gets out and put 4 feet, touches the floor, right?
That's it.
Ends and the other person goes.
I see.
And 2 minutes on the clock, just alternating.
That's kind of what you mean by like catch and release in a way. Like, oh, if something doesn't work, or what would happen? How do you keep the momentum going if someone's thrown though?
Well, no, you just get back and you start in Ochi position.
Oh, like back into the same position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As opposed to Furball Mondori, when you enter a position, you run it out of bounds, you start back in the middle in that same position.
Right. I see.
Which can also be a little bit dangerous too. So you got to have two people that they trust each other. You know, you don't want people like, oh, I was in an Osoto position, let's get back in there. And then you start in the middle and they poke the leg and they start ripping and roaring over here. You know, dropping their bodies on the floor. We can't have that in the dojo ever, you know?
Right.
But hopping Ochi is a little bit safer.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going for Tanya Toshi. Let's start where I'm sitting on the knee. Very sick, bro. I'm going to dive back to the side, you know, pulling their leg, body weight over that leg.
Right. Oh, that'd be awful. Yeah. That'd be awful.
So those are some examples, you know? And you see these Mongolian guys doing Mongolian wrestling. And this is something I saw
Buck.
The Brock wrestling.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I trained in Korea, when I was in Jeju Island, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was there for a World Cup Korea. And then the Mongolian national team was there. The French national team was there. We did a training camp. And before practice even started, the French were playing soccer. I remember that. They were kicking the soccer ball around. They were, like, doing soccer, joking around. Some guys were stretching. Mongolians were wrestling.
Oh, man. It's their, like, pastime. Yeah.
They
like, they'll balk.
Yep. They go chest to chest, over, under, grab the belt. They're belt wrestling, seriously. And they would just go. And it would be like half speed, lifting, push downs. But they were just playing. Not like in an aggressive. It was aggressive, but like not all out. Playing, one person bail, no ego.
That's like roughhousing kind of. Like kids like this, yeah.
Yeah, but it was very mellow because they had to do judo training afterwards. So they were like doing situational play wrestling from chest to chest, belt to belt.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're lifting and they're like, oh, you got me, ha ha ha. And they're not trying to take the person down at all costs and not trying to land on the person. If you're losing your balance, it's just like, oh, you got me. And then they would like take a break fall. And it was just fun and games.
Yeah.
And they did this for like 20 minutes straight, dude.
What did you guys do? The American?
Americans, I think, I don't remember, man. I remember just lying there watching.
Oh, just like mesmerized by other
countries. I will never forget that day when they were playing this game, these two French guys, right? There was this.
Yeah.
Black guy playing with a little kid.
Yeah.
They were on all fours and trying to pull each other's hands to make their face plant. You ever see that game?
Is it the one that you stand and then push each other?
No. You're on all fours.
Oh,
and you're trying
to
pull their hands out from underneath. So you
know
what I mean?
He does a face plant on the ground. Okay.
Yeah. So this guy playing with a little kid. And I'm like, why is there a little kid on the map? You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, they're playing. They're having a good old time. Everyone's watching. So I'm like, let's see what's happening over there. I walk over there. It was Teddy Riner playing with a guy my size.
He's that big, huh?
He's humongous, dude. He's humongous. And he was nimble.
I see. My God. Hey, you guys are one way close away from each other.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It is, anyway, so I see. So it's this kind of play wrestling can help in this situational training too, you're saying?
Yeah, play wrestling, you know, Georgian A, Georgian B. How can you do that safely? You know, when someone throws Georgian A over and then they're ripping and going and judo Rondori around and they're both unfamiliar, something dangerous is going to happen.
Right.
So how do you build that familiarity in a safe environment? Going 20, 30% speed, just play fighting and having little goals like, all right, Georgian B, your goal is to lift him off the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Not put him down hard, just lift him off the ground, you know?
So just so I think some people are asking about this term Georgian A and Georgian B.
Yeah.
So Georgian A is the one that whose arm goes up over the top.
Yeah,
and
the
Georgian
same
B
size
is the
shoulder.
Receiving end. Yeah, Georgian B is the receiving end.
Yes, and then you generally start with a tricep. So there's a couple goals, right? Georgian B generally is trying to lift them.
Yeah.
Georgian A is trying to pull the person down so that they can kind of go for a big turn, right?
Right.
I mean, you could lift from Georgian A also.
Right.
But so those are some of the goals. Georgian B wants to clamp the triceps so they can't turn away from you.
Right.
Georgian A wants to free that arm.
Mm.
So there's a couple of mini games and mini objectives even within that game, you know?
Mm.
And then, you know, interlocking the legs so they can't get taken backwards, right? Things like this. So training specifically in those scenarios.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking about, you know?
I see.
Yeah. Because everyone's talking about mini games now.
Oh,
what
I didn't know
sort
that.
Of mini games? What sort of objectives can we do? And you know, when they're talking about like judo soccer with a little beanbag to practice your foot sweeping skills. That's useless, man. Stop doing that. You know, that's not a mini game. You know what I mean? Just playing soccer might be just even better. Have fun. Get a warm up in. Although every single soccer before practice that I've seen, someone always kind of goes down, dude. It's so bad.
What do you mean? during a regular soccer practice?
Yeah, like soccer practice pre-judo in the dojo.
Oh, yeah. It can get, like, aggressive.
A bad idea.
Especially, yeah, it's like your feet can get caught.
I saw a guy trying to kick the ball.
Yeah.
And they nailed their toe into, like, the mat was raised a little bit. Dude, he broke his toe. I've seen that.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? I've seen this girl one time, dude. Like, died for the ball. I don't know what she was thinking. And this guy went to kick the ball and kicked her in the head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It sounds more dangerous than actual soccer.
I'll never forget. Yeah. The coach was like, oh, shit. But then he was, like, joking around. He goes, oh, she's faking. She's faking. And everyone laughing. And he's like, she's faking. She's faking. And one of the guys like, she's really hurt, man. Like, she's like, lying there. It's like, oh, my God, you know.
He tried to defuse the situation or something.
Yeah, they used to play Piggy on the U.S. national team would go on these events, and they would play this game called Piggy, where they would, like, throw the ball, pass it, and then their goal is to, like, hit the ball down into, like, the gi at the end of the thing. You know, I think, like, the San Jose guys, the California, West Coast guys kind of started it.
Oh, I see.
And Travis will never play it.
Because they think because of the injury risk?
I think so. You know, I've seen him play before, but, like, on these trips, before competition, he would never play.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen him, like, play with it, like, just in general.
So, I see.
But, you know, those games are kind of... we're not talking about those games.
Yeah, mini games. I see that a lot in, like, soccer. When I was, you know, playing soccer competitively, during training, you don't scrimmage, really.
No.
Soccer, it's more about, like, these mini games, like, keeping the ball away from the other team or like, and nowadays, especially they try to divide up the field into different sections and then they drill, like I'm talking about pros here. They drill what should happen in those different sections of the field. That's called I forget the name. There's a name for it, but it's a new training methodology. And then, so they only played all these mini games.
Yeah.
Never really the full game.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be specialized and then focus hyper-specifically on some objective that may be part of, like, right, you got to break it down. You know, it's like, all right, let's kick this ball into the net, you know, can only get you so far, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because so it's not as focused and then it's not as efficient. And that's what we're getting at, right, with situational training.
Starting in a losing position.
Yeah.
All right, you know, person A, you know, they used to call it A-man, B-man. In wrestling, right? A man, B man. A man starts with a single. You know, B man's defending with the overhook, whatever, the wizard. You know?
Yeah, wrestling, actually, they do that a lot.
You can't do that anymore. It's A person, B person.
That's
right.
Yeah, I mean, girls wrestle too, you know?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And, yeah, but I noticed it too. I mean, I go to my old high school's practice too, and then, bottom person up. Top person, right? And then you keep going. Like one of them hits a like switch.
Yeah.
And then you follow through. One of them tries to stand up and you follow through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I guess I don't really see that much in judo. Like a lot of times it's just like, all right, warm up, Uchikomi.
I mean, when I'm doing competition training, right?
Yeah.
Not me specifically, but when I'm training some of the guys who, let's just say there's a tournament coming up. A lot of our guys are going, you know, and when I say a lot, like 10, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a lot.
I don't push it at all. Right. Yeah. I really don't, you know.
Yeah.
I don't make everyone go. It's not another, you know what I mean? It's not mandatory at all. But when a lot of people want to go and they're like, all right, we're preparing for this thing. All right, we got to do transitions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to put a minute on the clock, you know, ready, set, go. The person's going to move around and drop Senagi.
Mm-hmm.
And then transition to Waza. The goal is not to throw the person with drop Senagi, but just to do it at a random time. Misdirecting, timing, faking, coaching, drop Senagi really quickly, and then the top person has to defend it, and then transition into something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the person who's taking it is obviously practicing transitions, but the person who's doing it is practicing drop saying are you. And you can even be more specific about it, right? Person A, A man, B man, or A person. A has dominant position. B's moving around. A's snapping him down. Build that technique, tomonage. Transition over on the pass go.
From the tomonage, yeah.
Yeah, so now you're training, staying in the pocket, right? Yeah. And you know that A person is not going to slam B because that's not the goal. Right. The goal is for B person to do a bailout move. But if the person who's receiving that tomonage, if they can see a tomonage coming, it's very easy to time an over-under pass.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So the person who's doing the tomonage is faking tomonage moving. Try to get out of that position. Get out of that. Ah, tomonage. So they're training tomonage entries.
Yeah.
And then, of course, still the person receiving it is training transitions in a way that's more realistic.
Yeah.
And that's a great game right there. That's a great transitional, you know, mini game sort of a thing that you can do in the dojo. That's very low intensity, low risk, okay? Injury rates are very low. And something that could definitely help you start winning, you know? Yeah. And that's a good use of your time.
Yeah.
As opposed to walking out of bounds, fixing your gis, grip fighting. Yeah. One person goes, she drops it, nothing happens.
Yeah.
I tell you, look at the randori in the room, man. Majority of the rounds that you're watching, nothing happens. You think anyone's getting good under those conditions? They're not. You know?
So we talked about this a lot, but, you know, in Japan, they rely on this, like, free exploration by people through... just a lot of randori, but they can do that because people have been doing judo for a long time, all of their lives, and that there's just so many people.
And the best guys are just going to immediately rise to the top, you know?
Yeah.
But there's
guys
in the room who are bottom 25 percentile, who's just circling, fixing their gis, fixing their hair, wiping the sweat off their head, going out of bounds, going for a shitty throw. They're just dogging it.
They do exist in Japan.
Oh,
yeah.
Bro, and you know what, man? There's people like me.
Yeah.
Who will do one hard one, one semi-hard one, and then every third or fourth is one of those guys. And I have my group of guys to rest. We always make eye contact across the room, like, yo, we're good here. And then we'll, like, use a rest round, we'll bullshit, you know, we'll just be much more reduced thing where it's like, we're going to both keep each other safe. We're going to both do some technical stuff, but we're not going to kill each other, cool? And we have like a mutual understanding, you know?
But
we're still working on stuff, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when I'm really tired,
sometimes
it's like, all right, bro, we're just going to chill here. You know, and sometimes when you're the senior, you could just say, like, yo, we're just chilling here. Right?
I see.
Don't come after me. And then they're like, all right.
But if they... are forcing you to do situational training, you can't really do that, I guess.
Yeah, no, you really can't, you know, because now all of a sudden your leg is raised, you're going to get taken down every single time.
Yeah.
I mean, the person cannot take you down, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of easy to see then.
This is the thing, because it's so concentrated, you know you're going to get good ROI on that time.
Right.
On your time and energy. So it makes sense to actually do those, you know what I mean? Even though they're not as fun as just full-blown doing randori 100%, just this, like, frantic, like, take each other down kind of a thing, you have to mitigate the risk in the room, you know, and see, like, how you can best spend your time, and it's doing these little games.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So are you guys doing that a lot in KBI?
Right now, we're doing a lot of the finishing stuff, you know, and people are used to it now, and it's actually kind of a good tool for beginners, too, to learn how to break fall.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, because none of these throws, when you're lifting Ochi and finishing it, they're not going to be too, like, high-impact techniques. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even though Soto, you know? And then it teaches them to kind of, like, because we're reduced, not to chop the knee inwards.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, using their hands and feet together while keeping your balance. And the majority of that technique, that finishing, is me putting my weight onto you.
Yeah.
So teaching them how to do that, it's a great learning tool, I think, that's been very successful. And I thought this was for advanced guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the beginners and the intermediate guys are getting the most out of it, you know?
Oh, interesting, so, interesting.
Now, that's where I'm at with that. That's what we're doing right now in KBI.
It's probably more fun to them, too, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And we've been doing a little bit more Tachiwaza to Newaza transition stuff. Mm. But when I teach the Newaza portion, a lot of it is in that transitional method, right?
I see.
Like pulling guard, Tomonage. Right? Into like the Delahiva and the overhead sweep, which is a double Tomonage sort of a thing. And yeah. Then if that fails, you're in Delahiva and you go one or two different sweeps from there, right? So it's not quite jujitsu, you know? Like we're not going deep diving into like collar sleeve, this and that, spider lasso, Delahiva versus Delahiva. You know, he goes knee cut, I go this, you go that. We're not really doing that, you know?
Right, right.
It's still geared towards judo, but it's a little bit more of a Brazilian jiu-jitsu influence. You know, people will love that comment. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so introducing that kind of a thing, I've been doing a little bit more. You know, I like the idea of Tomonage as a you know, a really, you know, to put in your system, right? So, like, doing the Tomonage and then using that as an entry into Newaza when you're drilling. Right,
it's beneficial for both judo and BJJ. I mean, why
best
do you just
worlds, you know?
Why do you just pull guard when you can't
useful,
even throw? Yeah.
Useless in no-gi.
Useless in no-gi?
Useless. can't do it.
I guess it's you can't really do the tomonage with no-gi. Yeah.
I mean, you could do like head and wrist, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
That good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta you'll figure out a no-gi system too. So
no-gi tomonage system.
Yeah. All right. I think we covered a lot for situational training. Yeah. Yep. And we've talked about this like, bits and bits here and there, like through the years. But I think it was good to dedicate a whole episode, especially in the context of learning how to finish throws. So, yeah that was a good episode. Anything else we missed?
No, join us on Patreon.
Yeah. Join us on Patreon.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And
thank you for being here, Peter, as always.
Yeah, thank you. This wouldn't be possible without you, Shintaro.
It wouldn't be possible without you either, though.
We're good duo, dynamic duo. Yes. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.